the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Father, we commit this time into your hands and pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of your holy word, and that you would open our spiritual eyes that we might see the truth of your word today, and that our hearts should be open to that word. And Lord, if there is one here that does not yet know you as Savior, that this would be the day that they would ask Jesus into their heart. Yes. Their lives would be forever changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we talked about the time in the garden where Jesus had the great wrestling match, and of course won our souls. But today we talk about the blood that was shed for our souls so that you and I might have eternal life. The Bible says without the shedding of blood there's no remission of sin. And you and I, without the death on the cross, you and I could not be saved. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, the songwriter says, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Are you getting the message? On that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, such a wondrous, what? Beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. See, here's where the theology kicks in for us Baptists, that Jesus is the only way of salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. We need light. He's the light of the world. And when He saves our soul, we become the light and the salt in our community. He's the river of life. And when we've received Him, the Bible says that it'll flow out from our being a river. Amen. From our own being. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. We've come to an age in our own civilization where you and I have the opportunity to stand up for the cross and for what is right. Then He'll call me someday. Are you about ready to shout? To my home far away. Yes. Where's glory? Forever. Forever I'll share. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for Lanny? For sinners such as I? Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Well, it was. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut His glory in? We saw that. When Christ the mighty Maker died for man, the creature's sin. Thus might I hide my blushing face. Did you get that? While Calvary's cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness. Melt my eyes with tears. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, here it is. Here's the commitment. I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the way. In Galatians 2, and I'd like for you to turn to that passage with me and look at verse 20, 2 and verse 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. The songwriter said, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. Amen. You see, there is just no other way. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so if this is me and this is the glory of God, I've missed it. Have you? Yes, you have. Amen goes right in there. You've missed it. I've missed it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what is it? What is it, church, that is going to bring me from this place to this place? Tell me, what is it? The cross. It's the cross. It's the cross, and it's our only way to salvation. So is this testimony of a changed life when the person meets Jesus. I want you to turn back to Luke 23 with me just for a little bit. And I want you to look down at verse 26, where we started. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian. W.O. Vaught would have said they could pick him out because of his white garment. Here he is, he's standing out in this crowd and he's pulled in. I know Ray Bolts has made it sound like he had his kids with him and they lost the sheep. But that's not in the scripture. We don't know if he had his kids with him or not, or if they lost their sheep, but that's okay. It's a good song anyway. Let's look at this. Let's look at what has happened here. In Mark's gospel, the 15th chapter and verse 21, it tells us that he was the father of Alexander and Rufus, who become known in the church, so much so that their name is mentioned in the scripture. Now, if you'd allow me the privilege this morning, I think I know what might have happened. When they pulled Simon out of the crowd to bear the cross, and he puts the cross of Jesus on his shoulders, There is something happens, folks, when you meet up with Jesus. There is this life change that takes place when you meet Jesus. Now, I don't know who you met, but if it didn't make any difference in your life, you hadn't met Jesus yet. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's what I think happened. I think that when he bore Christ's cross, that he became a new being, that he was born again in Christ Jesus. And whether he had the boys with him or not, we don't know, but we know that he must have told them the story. And I can see this family gathered around the table, and Alexander and Rufus are there, and they say, "Dad, tell us again. Tell us that story again. When you bore his cross, tell us the story again." Folks, I'm telling you that we need a relationship with Jesus that our children want. That they can say, "Tell us again, Dad, how you got saved. Tell us again one more time, Papa, where you were at and what happened in your life when Jesus took you over." You can't meet Jesus without it making a difference in your life. Amen. Now, you may have slipped away from that. It doesn't mean you lost your salvation. Right. It means you need to get back in fellowship with him. Can you imagine meeting those eyes of Jesus on the Della Rosa? Can you imagine meeting the eyes of Jesus even when he's dying for your sin? Being able to see the compassion in him. 2 Corinthians 5th chapter and verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I believe that we can't go too far unless the love of Jesus can reach us. I'm glad that it's that way. Aren't you glad that it's by grace and it's not by works? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be rich in order to be saved? Aren't you glad you don't have to be 6 foot tall? I am. Not 6 foot tall. I am glad that you don't have to be 6 foot tall. I am so glad it's by grace. Because I look at this old boy in the mirror almost every morning when I'm brave enough. And I know it's not in me. I'm telling you, I just don't have it in me. I can do my very best and fall off the wagon. I tell you, I'm like Andy Griffith. I can get the seat of my britches caught on my own pitchfork more than anybody that I know of. Amen. It just happens. So it has to be by grace for me. It has to be that he died on the cross for me. It has to be that he shed his blood and that the shedding of that blood is what paid my sin debt. My sin, not in part, the songwriter said. Are you hearing me today? Not in part. My sin, not in part, not part of my sin, not the ones that were not all that bad. My sin, not in part, but the whole of it. Amen. All of it. All of it. Woo! Was nailed to the cross. Now here it is. And I bear it no more. Now, the devil remembers it and he brings it back up. But I'm telling you, I bear it no more. He's paid my sin debt. I bear it no more. He's paid my sin debt. On the cross, that's what the cross was all about. It's just not some figurative deal. It's what it was all about. He paid my sin debt. And he did not say, okay, Lanny, I got her paid. Now you go along, do your best. But if you slip up, you won't have it no more. How in the world can anybody believe that and believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sin? How can anyone believe that they live a perfect life? I've had folks tell me that they hadn't sinned since they got saved. I always wanted a second opinion on that. Talk to their wife about it. I don't believe it, and they don't either if they've got a brain in their head. Let's get back to preaching. You believe in deathbed confessions of faith? I do. I don't believe we can go too far, but what the love of Jesus can't reach us. I don't think we can do too many things that the love of Jesus cannot reach us. Now, I understand the scripture says that my spirit will not always strive with man. And I know that when Jesus is calling you and working on your heart and you just keep turning him away, that there a callous forms around that. It's not that he's not still knocking. I think that you just get to a point that you can't hear it anymore. I think he's still knocking. I think he still wants you back. I think he still loves you. But I think that you could get to a point, if you just keep rejecting him, that you couldn't hear the knock anymore. I was working beside a man that went to church every Sunday with his wife. She played the piano. And he's lost as a goose. He's a good man. He's a good old boy. He treated his wife good, was good to his family and his kids. But he's lost. Did not know Christ. Went to church every Sunday, listened to the sermon preached every Sunday. And when I talked to him about his soul, I said, man, I said, you've not responded to the gospel? Never saw the need to. Never, he said, don't you think that a guy should want to do that? Should have some kind of urging in his life to do that if he did it? And I said, yeah, I think it'd be absolutely necessary. He said, I don't have it. And I'd never met anyone like that before. I said, let me ask you one more question. Did you ever feel the need to accept Christ? He thought for a while, and then he said, yeah, I think so. Back in my young days, I think so. And he rejected it, and he rejected it, and he couldn't feel it anymore. But this man could. I want us to see the difference between these two men. These thieves that hung on the cross. The only theology that is worth living for is that that you can die with. I mean, you better believe, you better have it right. You better have your theology right when it comes to your death. I think there's some folks wrong. But I'm telling you this, you better have right. I think that there's some folks that get saved in spite of what they believe. I know some people that I believe that are saved that the church that they go to don't teach enough theology for them to get saved. And I believe that they got saved in spite of it. But here's these two men on the cross. And if it proves anything, it proves that we are saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God and a little bit of works. Did I quote that right? I missed it, didn't I? By grace are you saved through faith. See, I got to start all over. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest you'd have something to brag about. Boy, I did such a good job. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In verse 41 of our passage that we're looking at, the thief was humble and repented. He said, we received the due reward of our deeds. So I think that's pretty important. He was humble when he came before the Lord. And I think that he saw the Lord his only hope. And I think that's pretty important. And in verse 42, he fulfills Scripture. Do you see it? Lord, remember me. In Romans 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, whosoever. Aren't you glad that's in there? Man, I am. Whosoever. Are you a whosoever? Well, yeah, you are. If you're here, you're a whosoever. Whoever you are. Whosoever. Now listen closely. I don't want to have to start all over again. So I want you to listen real close here at the end. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever your past is, whatever your present is, if you accept the Lord, I can tell you the future is going to be different. Amen. Whoever will, whosoever will, let him call on the name of the Lord that he might be saved. The thief on the cross was not baptized. Now, I think you ought to be baptized after you get saved. I think that the Lord laid that out in Scripture. He didn't have the opportunity, but he's saved anyway. He didn't have any opportunity to do any good works. He didn't have the opportunity to join Osage Baptist Church, did he? He never was able to sing in the choir down here. I mean, you think of anything that he could do? Not a thing. That's true in everyone's salvation. That's true in everyone's salvation. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't do good works. I think that with Christ living in you, it's just going to be an automatic thing. You're going to keep a sin nature until you die. And sin's going to be an automatic thing. It shouldn't be a practice. The Bible says that we don't practice sin. We do it accidentally. We do it accidentally. Here's the offer. And it's to everyone. Whosoever will. This offer is for everyone. If you have not invited Jesus into your heart as Savior, would you do that today? Would you say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Would you do that today? Perhaps you're here today and you need to recommit your life to the Lord. And God's been dealing with you about what's been going on in your life. And you've been hanging on to it, and it's sin. And you need to get rid of that today. Did you know the Bible says that if we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness? We'll get a clean slate. His grace is new every morning. Aren't you glad it is? Perhaps the Lord's dealing with you to become a part of this fellowship by joining in this church. And if that's your desire today, well, you come and talk to me or Leon. Let's stand together. Brother Matt's going to lead us. And if you need to come to this altar and pray, I hope you'll feel free to do that. If you need to talk to one of us, I hope that you'll feel free to do that. So as we sing, you come. You come right now. Some are coming. What about you? What about you? Some are coming right now, and the Lord's dealt with their heart, and they've got a freedom to do what God has called on them to do. Would you do what God's called on you to do today? Would you come if the Lord's dealing with your heart? Would you lay that sin to the side and allow God to minister to your heart right now? If you were to die today and you don't know where you'd spend eternity, would you settle that once and for all today by inviting Christ into your heart as Savior? Would you do it today? Would you do it today? Thank you. Amen. Thank you for being here. At 6 o'clock this afternoon, we'll have another worship service, and we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Isn't that going to be wonderful? We get to celebrate that, and then next Sunday, we're going to